You're on Breakfast here on Radio Adelaide with Zoe Kanatis and Tom Mann.
Plans have been scrapped for a nuclear waste dumping ground in the Flinders Ranges following a community ballot. This will mean that there will be no further push for a dumping ground in that part of the state, and it results in a new site location that needs to be found. In to tell us more is Craig Wilkins from Conservation SA. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
So what did, how did this community ballot come about?
So the process has been going on for a long time, and I really feel very deeply for those communities because it's been very divisive for both of them. So there's two that have been in the mix, one at Kimber and one in the Flinders Ranges. So the federal government proposed a ballot to try and get a sense of community support, and there's now been ballots in both places. The great news is that with the Flinders Ranges one, which was the most recent one, a significant majority rejected the idea of a nuclear waste dump storing the waste from the Lucas Heights reactor in Sydney. So the government had no choice but to immediately rule that one out. The people of Kimber, however, are still facing the threat of being announced as the major site, and it probably in some ways it increases the risk that decision will be made. So that's, probably early in the new year we may get an announcement about that, which would be quite devastating for them because Matt Canavan, the minister, initially said that you'd need at least 65% community support to be confident that to proceed to the next stage. The recent ballot there was only about 61.7 I think percent, and that didn't include the Bungala people. And when the Bungala people themselves did their own ballot, an overwhelming majority of them rejected it. So there isn't that community support in Kimber either. But I think the federal government has kind of gone so far down this path that they will just keep on going and they will probably announce Kimber, which is would be a real shame.
Now, there was one recent ballot that I was reading about that did come quite close. I think it was a 48-52% split. So what is the point of view from the part of the community that does want this?
Yeah, I mean, there are people who are really desperate in terms of jobs and economic development in their communities, and that's a really, really valid concern. Part of our pushback against that has been that a lot of the economic benefit of hosting some sort of nuclear waste facility is massively overstated, because essentially the whole plan is to take intermediate level waste which has to be kept safe supposedly for 10,000 years, an extraordinary length of time. It's twice the length of the pyramid. So the responsibility to find the right site is enormous. So and at Kimber or at Flinders Ranges, that they actually haven't located that site. All they're doing is transferring the waste across to South Australia and then storing it temporarily above ground while they work out what to do with it long term. And that's why we've always been just really bemused by this whole process about why don't you just keep it at Lucas Heights where they can keep it there. There's security, there's space, there's all the licensing. Quite possible to keep it there while they work out what to do with it long term. And that could be a few years away. And we strongly urge the federal government not to choose Kimber as the next stage, but instead take a step back and work out where they want to do it long term, which involves a lot of research and a lot of geological investigation and making sure they get it right, and not just dump it temporarily above ground in South Australia.
And I mean, you've just mentioned it there. I mean, 10,000 years, it's almost impossible to even envision that length of time. And I guess my question is, there's obviously the other side of the argument, and what could be the environmental impact of a site like this?
I mean, the biggest one is around the fact that it is temporary storage above ground. The experts globally suggest, and this is still very much an emerging area because essentially humanity is really not really sure what to do with nuclear waste full stop. When it comes to the intermediate stuff, which is the stuff which is around, you know, 10,000 years to be kept safe, the best practice, as I understand it, around the world is to do deep burial underground. So we're talking, you know, many, many metres underground. So that involves a purpose-built site and you know, billions of dollars of investment to get that right. That's not what they're proposing at Kimber. They are literally storing it temporarily above ground in sheds, and then they will then spend the next, you know, 50, 100 years trying to work out where to put it long term. For us, it just seemed a crazy proposal, and so they've talked initially it was around 10 jobs, and then when the community resisted, they then started talking about 45 jobs. The reality is it'll be closer to 10 jobs, that won't be a game changer for any community, and the level of division and pain that it's caused has just not been worth it.
Mm. We're speaking with Conservation SA's Craig Wilkins. Basin Water Ministers are meeting in Brisbane today with key aspects of $13 billion Murray-Darling Basin plan set to be debated. So what are you hoping will be the crux of this conversation?
Well, I mean, in many ways, the bar is really low at the moment. It's about survival. It's about survival of the Murray-Darling Basin plan. I'm sure your listeners would have heard the various mutterings and shouting from upstream states, in particular New South Wales, around how outrageous that a river actually runs out to the sea, which is just a bizarre concept, because unless it runs out to the sea, you don't flush out all the salt, you don't have any of the economic the ecological benefits of a river. All you have then is a lake, which is just a crazy alternative. But they see somehow that this water running out to the ocean is somehow wasting. It's a really bizarre lack of understanding about how a river works. But there's a real big push to try and knock off the plan, and all strength to our local Environment Minister, David Spears, and the other basin ministers who are standing up for the plan, because they need to hold strong, because certainly that the plan is far from perfect. We've always said that there needs to be far more water in put back to keep the river healthy. But it is the very least that needs to be put in place, and at this stage, we'd be delighted if the plan continues and we make sure that there's at least that minimum amount of water required to keep the river flowing and all the amazing services it provides to those communities strong.
And do we know if there's any going to be any decisions or outcomes from this meeting that's happening today?
There's New South Wales and Victoria are putting forward a report that they've prepared, which is questioning the merits of doing. There was, when the original plan was created, there was a section of water which South Australia argued for and received as part of the complete package. And since then, New South Wales and Victoria have argued that we don't need to deliver it. The reality is we do. It is absolutely essential. And they're saying that component, which is around 450 gigalitres of water, which is a fair chunk of water, and it's really essential to keep the river healthy. They are saying that the upstream impact on communities will be too great and it can't be delivered. We completely and utterly disagree with that. The money is actually directed at improving the efficiency of irrigation. So those upstream communities actually benefit from it greatly in terms of the investment in their communities. And the alternative is if they can't get this right, if they walk away from this 450 gigalitres, then the only real alternative is to buy back the water, which they also reject. So they're kind of saying that they don't want the investment in their efficiency measures, but they don't want their buybacks either. And the reality is you've got to have some mechanism to get the water back. So, we just hope that will be significantly resisted. But essentially, in terms of the plan, we're in a space where it's about keeping on incrementally delivering more water over time, and then around 2024 is the big crunch time to work out whether enough water has been returned. So this meeting, along with the it's usually around, you know, 2, 3, 4 a year, is required to just keep all the states on track in delivering the water they've already promised.
And the South Australian Premier Stephen Marshall has promised to oppose any plans that would reduce water flows to the state. How much sway do we have in these conversations?
Yeah, and we actually have a lot, because it is essentially a consensus base. All the states and territories involved with the Murray-Darling Basin need to agree for any changes. So as long as South Australia holds the line, then we should be okay. And also, I to give credit to the federal minister David Littleproud, who has been really good around talking about the need for that that full delivery of the plan. So hopefully, those sort of wise, sensible, pragmatic heads prevail, and we continue to have water sharing across a very complicated space.
Well, Craig, thank you for your time this morning, and this will actually be the last time we're talking this year, so we appreciate everything you've done for us this year, and have a happy new year and a happy holidays.
Fantastic. No, I always appreciate the opportunity, and to all the listeners, please give generously in the campaign to keep Radio Adelaide strong and healthy.
Yes, please do that as well. Craig Wilkins from Conservation SA speaking with us about the current Murray-Darling Basin debate and other news from the sector.